I thought Josh Rosen is kind of as advertised. He's as natural a thrower as I've seen since Sam Bradford. My concern with him is the durability. But for today, as the day went on, I thought he got better and better, accurate at all three levels. I thought Baker Mayfield was fun to watch, and I think he embraces the limelight. You know, some guys kind of get worried about it. I think he comes out there and says, hell, 32 teams are here, man, let's rip it. Let's have some fun. And he did. And I thought, again, as the day went on and he got into his comfort level, intermediate and deep routes, several people said to me, including David Carr down on the field, he's like, Mike, we went to a break. And he said, man, his arm's better than I expected. And I thought the same thing coming off my first exposure to him when I watched tape back in the fall. So I thought, let's see, that's Allen, that's Rosen, that's Mayfield, Lamar Jackson. Any of you that heard my conference call last week, you know that I think he's the most fascinating athlete in this draft, and I think a team's going to bite on him and commit to him philosophically. You got to understand what you're getting, and you saw it out there today. Erratic, inconsistent, but again, perhaps the best athlete in this draft, and I think the way the NFL's going, teams are going to start to commit. You saw what happened with Deshaun Watson. I thought Bill O'Brien did an outstanding job of catering to Deshaun and making him comfortable last year. And I think somebody's going to do that with Lamar. And Lamar is, you know, he's Michael Vick. And he's got as good legs as any quarterback in the history of the game. And he's going to win games with his legs. Mason Rudolph, I think, is who he is. Big, strong, good-looking kid that I think is, to me, I have a second-round grade on him. I don't think his arm strength is in the same conversation. And then as I look through my list, I mean, guys like Luke Falk and Mike White, they're anticipatory throwers. The one guy that jumped out today, and I knew he would because he's got arm talent, is Tanner Lee from Nebraska. So in a pair of shorts, he's always going to look good, okay? His issues were more bad decisions and bad throws in games. But today, in that format, Tanner Lee looks great. I think he's a natural slot receiver. So for me, he's more of an inside receiver. You've got to be tough to be inside. I was fine with his speed. You know, he's in the mid 4.4s today. At plus or minus 200 pounds, I think what he brings to the table is a starting slot receiver that can play some outside. He's a really good route runner. I love his return game. I love his toughness. He catches the football. And I think everybody I've talked to that knows the kid loves the kid. So from my perspective, all he did was help himself today.
Mike, what do you think of the overall quality of the rushing class?
I think the edge rushing class is down this year. I thought it was up last year. There were more. I think there were 17 edge rushers taken a year ago. There's an average of 11. So last year, I think people saw this coming a little bit, and they went heavy on the edge rushers. I look at my edge list. And you know, Chubb is a no-brainer in the top five. Marcus Davenport is intriguing to everybody, and people can't wait to watch him play. Arden Key is as gifted as anybody in this class is, but he's got all those off-the-field concerns. So this is a huge week for Arden Key. And then you get into some of the 3-4 guys. There's more of the kind of smaller, explosive guys. Harold Landry from Boston College. Lorenzo Carter and Davin Bellamy. There's a kid named Hercules Mata'afa from Washington play defensive tackle that's going to have to stand up and play linebacker. So you're kind of reaching this year on the edge class.
Hey, Mike, give me your impression of Willie Griffin doing 20 on the bench press for one. His overall challenge.
Look, I almost got choked up watching that today just because I watched his tape months ago and I was like, wow, I could care less. If you talk to me as a football player, as a football evaluator, I look at him, he's a hell of a player. I couldn't believe he got the late invite here. I mean, he's really good on tape. He was the conference player of the year 2 years ago. This is a legitimate football player. Forget about the deformity or whatever you want to call what he has. He's an energy giver, and I don't know if anybody was in that weight room today. Some of my buddies were in there, and they said it was awesome. You know, I think that whole group of kids is just going to feed off of him. And I think he's a legitimate NFL player. I got chill bumps watching him do 20 reps. And what he wants, I don't know if you heard his answer. Our Kim Jones asked him about, she said a GM or somebody told her that he's legitimate. If he only did 5 reps, he wouldn't have cared. And the kid kind of burred up and said, 5 reps. You know, don't treat me any different. I did 20. You know, and I love that attitude, and he's going to be on an NFL team next year. I kind of choked up a little bit watching him do that, and I can't wait to watch him tomorrow.
Mike, what do you think Gabe Gilman came away from yesterday?
Think I mean, you know, that's all Rich Eisen wants to talk about is, you know, the number two pick and the Giants. And Gettleman's an old hog molly guy, right? You know, that's his term for big linemen. And I look at the Giants, and here's kind of how I'll tell you, and I think how Gettleman probably is looking at it, is that first and foremost, if you fall in love with a quarterback at number two and you think he's the guy for the next 10 years, you probably have to take him. However, if you don't love the guy and don't believe in him with all your heart and soul, Saquon Barkley, if he's there at two, is the most obvious choice in the draft. He's special. He's different. He's all those things. And then on top of that, just as kind of a dark horse, and the hog molly comes into play, Quentin Nelson, in my opinion, is one of the two best players in this draft. I think Barkley and Quentin Nelson are the two best football players in this draft. And you're sitting at number two, and you've got a bad offensive line. And I, you know, you can talk all you want about the quarterbacks and the wideouts and the running backs, but if you can't block for them, that's in his head, that's got to be, you know, if you're talking quarterback and what else is important, it's fixing the offensive line. That doesn't necessarily mean at two you take one, but he better fix the offensive line. I know he knows that. And you'd love to have Saquon Barkley back there. But so I think it's kind of like quarterback. Are we banging the table for anybody there at the end of April? But if we're not banging the table, it's got, probably got to be Barkley. Yeah.
Can he play in pretty much any scheme, and do you see him making it down to the latter part of the first round?
Yeah, it's interesting because if you watch his Oregon tape in the bowl, it's as good of an off-the-ball linebacker tape as I've seen in years. Some of his other tape isn't quite as good, and he's only a, you know, really a one-year starter. So when you start picking his game apart, even though I get excited about that one tape, which was awesome, if you watch Oregon State, it's not as good. Okay, so how he tests is really important, and I think the coaches that I've talked to are worried about his inventory of plays. One season of a starter, one outstanding game, some pretty good games, a couple, you know, so they to bang the table for him as a first-round pick is hard. So he could be there late in the first round, Damo, to answer your question. Yeah.
Mike, give me your thoughts on Fitzpatrick.
I think he and Derwin James are special talents at the safety position, if that's what he is. And I think the key to Minkah Fitzpatrick is what is he? And I think he could play all six defensive back positions, both corners, both safeties, nickel, and dime linebacker. And he's the only guy I can say that about. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I've had a couple coaches say to me, hey, you know, is he a difference maker? You know, is he a nickel? Where's his ball production? Well, he had six picks 2 years ago, only had one this year. So I kind of look at it from the positive. I think he's going to go out there and run like a corner, have the size of a safety, and if you're a defensive coordinator, you better have a – if you're going to take him in the top 10, you got to have a plan. What is he? Is he my corner? Is he my safety? Is he my nickel? Or am I? Is he a piece where I can match him up week to week against a big wideout or a tight end? Or how you're using him, I think, is really going to ultimately determine the value of him. Some people are going to look at Derwin James and say, I'd rather have the bigger body safety. So it's really going to be intriguing.
Mike, what does the divide after Nelson and guard to Hernandez and then Braden Smith? And how big a disparity is it from Nelson down to Hernandez, Hernandez down to Smith?
Well, they're not my three, but would you like me to – I mean – Quentin Nelson's one, and he's a top five guy, in my opinion. Isaiah Wynn from Georgia is highly intriguing, okay, and he didn't get a chance to work out, but he's going to be in that conversation. And I think when you talk about the drop-off, I think Isaiah Wynn, James Daniels, Will Hernandez, Billy Price, maybe even Frank Ragnow are all in that conversation of late one to mid two. I think it's one of the deeper interior offensive line classes I've seen recently, especially at the top end. And they're all really good football players. So what it really comes down to answer your specific question is what kind of offense do you run? You're looking for more of a zone guy. You're looking for a gap guy. Hernandez is going to show out to a gap scheme team that wants a mauler. Price is more of a zone scheme guy at center or guard. So it depends on what your scheme is and what you're really looking for an interior offensive lineman. You're talking about the Texas kid? I think his tape is more important than what he tests, okay? 27 reps is outstanding. I think he's going to run fast because he's straight line fast. You can see that on tape. He's straight line active. I think he had trouble sometimes getting off blocks. he gets enveloped by some of those big bodies. Most of my grade on him is kind of a third or fourth round grade. Most of the teams I've talked to are in that area. I'm not sure what he can do to improve that. I think he's going to run fast because he's a straight line guy. Okay, so I do think so. I hate to put it this way, but the football's more important, and I think most of that's already kind of been decided because we've watched this tape and we have a good feel for what he is.
Like talent-wise, do you have a first-round grade on Antonio Callaway, and do you think it would be tough for him to sell himself to NFL team?
It's a really good question. We're talking about Antonio Callaway from Florida. Who did not play this year, was dismissed from the team, his problems are significant enough. It's not just like one problem. They're significant enough that teams are going to dive deep on Antonio Callaway. The good news is the reason they're willing to dive deep is the natural talent. Okay, so he's out there running 4-4, catching the football with return abilities as a punt and kick returner. I don't think they're going to take, and it's too early to say this because I don't even know. I'll hear more and more from teams as we get closer about him off the field, but they're going to do a deep dive. And my gut would tell me he's not a first round pick because of the off the field stuff and the concerns they have for him. But he has so much talent and ability. Their teams, if they believe in the kid, he could go as early as the second day. And that's saying a lot for a kid that didn't play at all in 2017.
Who?
He's an off-the-ball linebacker that's 19 years old that has the ability to become an edge rusher. You could see it on tape. He's been working on it with his coaches over the last several weeks, and at 6'5", 250, yes, he has an ability to be an edge guy.
What does Jackson need to do to solidify
first-round grade? He's an instinctive one-year starter, 8 picks, great ball skills. He's got to run fast. And that's the concern there is that it's really kind of interesting because he's a long press corner, but he's at his best when he's got his eye on the quarterback, when he can jump and be instinctive and go get the football. His ball skills are great. So if he comes out and runs 4.5 plus or minus, I think that's a good time for him. He doesn't need to run 4.38. At his length and with his ball skills, I think 4.5 is where I kind of have him as an overnight. Is he that fast? I don't know if he is. If he's 4.58, it's a different conversation, and he might be. But right now, I love his ball skills and his instincts, and I'm rooting for him because I love that kind of player. What? I'm struggling right now with Oklahoma, okay? And I don't usually like to struggle. And here's my take on Oklahoma. I mean, the first tape I put in, I didn't like his feet. But I typically don't like those huge tackles that don't have great feet. But the more tape I watch, the more I'm like, man, he gets the job done, though. Guys aren't getting his quarterback, and he's winning in the run game. And then he comes out with, what was it, 11 reps or 14 reps, whatever it was the other day, ran 4.585. That's going to hurt him with some teams. So first and foremost, there's going to be a small group of teams because of what he does that likes his style of play, and he's going to slide a little bit. I think McGlinchey's going to be a really solid player. He didn't really get a chance to work out. I think McGlinchey's going to be a very solid player. I think he's going to be a second half of the first round guy. Okay. Connor Williams, he had an up and down career at Texas, but he's talented enough. He has first round talent is the way I should put it. And then after that, I almost sometimes feel like, because I bang the table for McGlinchey because I know the kid. I know his passion. I know how much he loves the game. I know his work ethic. So he's going to start for 10 years in the league, okay? But there's some talent in the second and third rounds, I think. And Colton Miller jumped off the boards here. I don't think his tape is as good as his workout does, but he's 6'8.5 with great feet and ran and jumped like crazy. So some people are going to say Colton Miller's a first-round pick, okay? But you got to do your homework on all these guys. O'Neal, Crosby. I mean, there's some interesting kids out there. I'm just not sure how they're going to shuffle out of this thing by late April.
Mike, the Colts have made it clear they're looking at receiver. With Frank, you know, putting in his new offense, are there guys you think fits what he potentially will want to do, you know, Philly-style sort of attack?
Yeah, I think what Frank is good at as a former quarterback, and I did the Eagles preseason games, and I know that team pretty well. I think what Frank and Doug and those guys do a great job with is tailoring what they do schematically to their players, not the other way around. Okay? I think they're really good at that. And I think it depends on what they end up with. You know, you already got T.Y. Hilton, smaller quicker, explosive guy? Are they looking for a bigger body guy? What do we, you know, what are they looking for, and where are they looking for him? What rounds, et cetera? But if Frank did a great job with Nelson Aguilar this year, kicking him inside. So I think it's more about what type of receiver they're looking to complement T.Y. Hilton this year, and I think a lot of that will dictate how they throw to him. Is it an outside the number big body guy? Yes.
Where does Ian Thomas fit in among this tight end class?
He's ascending, and he was a JC kid that's only played 2 years at Indiana. He had 3 catches, I think, his first year, 25 this year. He's just under 6'4". At 259, he ran well. His routes are better than I expected, and he blocks. So when you're talking about this tight end class, which is kind of an interesting class, I think I've got him as my sixth guy right now, my sixth tight end. 5 tight ends typically go in the first 3 rounds. That would tell you if form held, he'd be a fourth rounder. However, I think he's ascending. I think people are going to like different type of tight ends. I think he's going to go somewhere in the third or fourth round. If he slid the 5, that could happen, but I got him in the third or fourth.
Michael, how are you with Arden Key's weight loss?
Weight gain, weight loss, which is it? I mean, he was up to 260. He's down, what did he weigh in at, 235 or 238, 238? I'm concerned about a lot of things with him because he's a gifted kid and there aren't many edge rushers. And everybody wants one, right? And if you just – I think he's going to show you. My gut tells me, and he's working with a really good coach. He's working with Chuck Smith, who understands defensive linemen. And Chuck's working with him, and Chuck tells me that he's going to show up and show out, okay? And Chuck pretty much tells me the scoop. So I expect him to come and look like the real deal. Run fast, show off in all the drills, and look like the real deal. What's more important is not that, because I think we can all see the talent on tape and who he is. It's the weight loss. It's the weight gain. It's the off-the-field issues. It's all that stuff has got to be figured out, because if he stays straight, if he stays good, you got a special talent. If he doesn't, you got a problem, and there are a lot of teams that have been burnt by some of these edge rushers that have come out in the last several years. I think talent dictates at the end of the day, and I've been beating the table this whole week, just telling people, listen, the last 4 top 10 picks at running back have made their teams better. I don't care if you look at Gurley or Fournette or Ezekiel Elliott or McCaffrey, who's a different style of back, but they've all made their teams better. So if you believe a running back is a top 10 pick and you're willing to commit philosophically to him, go get him, because he's going to make your team better. The other thing that's cool about the running back position, we've always seen the depth, and right in the second, third, and fourth rounds, you got the kid that played in Kansas City this year in the third round, Hunt. I mean, he was unbelievable, right? Kamara, third round. So I think this class is very similar. Talent dictates, and last year there was a ton of talent, and this year there's a ton of talent. What? No. And I love Geis, but there's enough talent here that I think it depends a little bit on the flavor. Ronald Jones, a different flavor than Darius Geis, who's a different flavor than the 2 Georgia kids, one of whom, by the way, I think is a lot like Kamara. I mean, I the kid from Sonny Michel, he looks like he's special to me, if he can catch the ball like Kamara.
Mike Shepherd from 4 days.
Love him.
Did that burst on the scene every 2 days.
Yeah. You know, I was mad at myself because my mind was scrambled at that point on the conference call. And I'm like, wait a minute, we forgot about the 4 days kid. He's Simon Fraser, right?
And then he went to 4 days.
Yeah, yeah.
So what have you heard about him from other people around the league since those 2 days?
Malik Jackson. That's the comparison I've gotten, which is a pretty nice comparison. And the nice thing for him is he can play inside and outside. He's big. He's like 315, man. He's big. He can play outside if you need him. I think some of the 3-4 teams are going to like him as a 5 technique, a defensive end. He can kick inside. How high he goes, he's very raw. How high he goes will depend on whether or not teams think he can rush the quarterback from any position.
Oh, that's the topic of the running backs. Statistically, drafting a running back in the top 5 has turned teams around faster than the other position. Why do you think that is, and do you think Saquon will do that for whatever team he does?
Well, if you take a step back and look at the running game in general, old school, okay, because we're past first league now, right? And that's why I say if you believe in a top 10 running back, you got to commit to him philosophically. My point is you don't draft a quote bell cow and give him 9 touches, You know, you draft that kid, and somehow he gets 20-plus touches every game. And what it does is it makes your offensive line better. It's easier to run block. Makes your quarterback better because it takes pressure off him. Makes your quarterback better in play-action pass game, and your defense plays less snaps. So a good running game kind of combines to help you in all phases of your game.
Michael Gallup, how did he fare in the receiver debate?
And I like Michael Gallup. I loved his game against Alabama. He ran, I think, 4.52, somewhere in that range today, which I was hoping he would because I thought he was very quick. I didn't know how fast he was. I was hoping, because I like him, that he'd be sub 4.55, and he was. So I think he's a legitimate plus or minus third-round wide receiver, and I think he can help a team because he's quick, he's tough, and he's got really good run after catch.
Wait, what's that?
You know what, I was doing the heights and weights last night, and he checked in a little bigger than I expected, which is good, because I kind of had him as a potential three. This is Dorrance Armstrong, who played out of position at Kansas. They had him as the five technique, which is not what he is. I think he's a 34 outside linebacker. I think he can play in a four down system. I'm interested to watch him work out. I've got him clumped in a group of guys that are 34 outside linebackers, and I'm interested to see which of that group kind of steps up in the next couple of days. What's that? I'm a BC guy, so first and foremost, I'm rooting for Harold Landry. He almost came out last year. He's 6'2½", 253. Therein lies the rub. He's a little bit too small, doesn't have the length to be a four-down guy, which is what Detroit is. Detroit's a four-down group. They like length. They like, you know, they re-sign Ziggy Ansah. That's what the teams where they're four-down in their base package are looking for. They're looking for 6'5", 270. That's what they want. Harold's not that guy. So I don't think Harold's a fit for Detroit at 20, to answer your question.
Last one.
What's your take on the Bears that bring in help at wide receiver?
Yeah.
Of course, Nagy's a new guy, head coach.
Yep.
Between Calvin Ridley and Cortland Sutton, which receiver best fits that type of system that he's bringing to Chicago?
Well, you're talking about two completely different guys, both of whom can fit in any system. Okay. Cortland Sutton, though, it doesn't run a route tree and you know, he's not 230 pounds. He's like 240. So he's not Michael Evans. You know, he's not the 230-pound guy that runs 4.53. He's 209 or 211 or whatever he is. And more of an outside-the-number, jump ball, back-shoulder fade guy. But effective. Was it Ridley or Kirk that you asked me? Calvin Ridley's completely different. And he can come in day one, I believe, and be your starting slot. And I think that's who he is. And if he's so tough and so quick that if he and Trubisky can get on the page, he can become, it's kind of like the best friend of your quarterback. You know, now I'm not sure he's going eight. That's kind of high. I'm not sure. But last year I didn't have any wide receivers in my own top 20, I don't think. And they went, what, 5, 7, and 9. So at the end of the day, what the hell do I know?
Does Vay get out of the top 10?
Huh?
Does Vay get out of the top 10?
We'll see what he does tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
I love Vay. Vaya. I bet I got to remember that tomorrow. Vita Vea.